Bibles of 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. I began to think about the privilege and honor it is to be back at Bible, and I thought about the men I'm preaching between. I mean, I love Brother Samuel Free, and I began to think about, well, he's a Jew, and then I thought, well, then there's Brother Sasser. So right before the service, I said, Brother Sasser, can I ask you a question? I said, do you have any Jewish blood in you? He goes, oh, yeah, Brother Nathan. I thought, my soul, there ain't no hope for me, amen. Two Jews and a Gentile, amen. That's what you get this morning. But it's so good to be home. It's so good to be back at Bible Baptist. We've been on the road for about 2.5 months out west and seeing God do great and mighty things. We saw souls saved, amen, and had the privilege of preaching in a missions conference. And we did 5 weeks of camp, and we've seen many young people surrender their lives, and we praise the Lord. We got to preach in a new church plant in New Mexico with Brother Chris Rogers, and then I got to go on a survey trip with Brother Ricky Howard to Mesquite, Arizona. You say, well, I thought he was a missionary in Utah. He is. It's just an hour down the road from him, amen, but they need a church, and we're praying about seeing a new church planted there. And so we're excited about what God's doing. I ask that you pray for me and for Logan and for Brother Caleb Wilson. And we have two other young men. We leave on November the 12th for the jungles of Honduras. And we'll be there with Brother Gene Trask. And we want to see God do some great, mighty things. We'll be there for about 2 weeks. And you said, Brother Saunders, what's it going to be like? Well, the place we're going is called La Mosquitia. You want the translation of that? They speak the language mosquito. What do you think we're probably going to run into when we get there? Amen. So y'all pray that we don't get malaria or something. Amen. And no, I'm joking. But please be in much prayer for us. We desire and seeing a harvest of souls. Amen. You say, Brother Sars, why in the world would you take these four young men with you into the jungles of Honduras? The Bible says, mine eye affecteth my heart. And I hope and pray to God that God will do something great within the hearts of these young men. And so will you stand with me for the ring of God's word? 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1. The Bible says, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Micah, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Micah, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, said to him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring it in the fruits, and that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Let's pray together. Lord, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for this day. Now, God, I beg you, Lord, please touch my feeble lips. Lord, give me the courage and your power and your strength to preach today. For, Lord, without you, I am nothing. And, Lord, I beg you, Father, Lord, will you do something, Lord, within every heart today, God, will you challenge us today? Lord, will you open our eyes to a lost and dying world that desperately needs to hear the gospel? And I pray, dear God, Lord, may you help us. Lord, as our eyes are cast upon the Word of God, may the sweet Spirit of God touch our hearts today. May our hearts be ever so broken, our eyes wet with tears. Lord, please, dear God, help us, dear Lord, to see the world that you so love, Lord, that desperately needs to hear the gospel. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In a passage such as this, I could preach on David. David is a picture of Christ. The amazing parallels between King David and King Jesus are evident throughout the scripture. Both were descendants of Abraham and of the tribe of Judah. Both were assigned duties as a shepherd. David as a shepherd of his father's flock, and Jesus the great shepherd of his father's flock, of his redeemed people. Both experienced confrontation whilst in the wilderness. David by a lion and a bear. Jesus by Satan's temptations and lies. Both became king. David the greatest kings of all of Israel. Jesus crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, I could preach on Saul. Saul is a parallel with Satan. Saul was the head and shoulders, brightest among Israel. Now I ask you, think of someone who else was called the brightest, the best, and carried the name of the son of the morning. That is Satan. Saul's pride and anger ruined him. Satan's pride and anger ruined him. Saul threw javelins, and Satan throws fiery darts. But this morning, I want to preach on an individual that's mentioned in the passage of Scripture. His name is Ziba. Ziba's name means fixed, settled strength. Fixed, when I think about that word fixed, I think about Isaiah 50 and verse 7. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. I think about the word settled, 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. The word strength, boy, that classic verse in Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I want to preach on this thought this morning, missions in Lodabar. Missions in Lodabar. But when I think about that, I think about number one, will you follow the desire of the king? Will you follow the desire of the king? For the Bible says here in verse 1, David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? But when I begin to think about that, I think about the damaged. We're talking about Mephibosheth. Listen, he's damaged. And were we not all damaged at some time? We were all born sinners. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short. But oh, hey, just before this message, many were standing and just saying how good it is to be saved this morning. The doomed, may I tell you, the doomed is still out there. Ephesians 2 and verse 12, it says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. No hope. Can I tell you, young people, listen, there is still a world today that has no hope. There are still people today that have no hope. Mephibosheth had no hope. You need to understand that day and time when a new king would take the throne, the previous king, any family members he had, you know what they would do? They would flee because they were so petrified that the new king would have warrants for their arrest and have them executed so that there would never be another coup upon the throne. Why else would Mephibosheth run to Lodabar? Because he's running from the king. May I tell you that there are now people all over the world. They're in the Lodabars of the world. They're without hope, without God. Would someone go and reach them? They're doomed. They're damaged. Listen, they're in desolation. Ziba is the missionary that day in Lodabar. Lodabar literally means desolation or washpot. It's where the scum of the earth is. Can I tell you something? Bethlehem means the house of bread. And you and I, can I tell you something? Every time you come to the house of God, you're in the house of bread. You get to hear from the bread of life every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. Boy, I think about we get to hear preaching all the time. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how then shall they call on him on whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him on whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a what? A preacher. And how shall they preach except they be what? Sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Can I tell you something, young people? Listen, this world today, listen, it's only glad tidings and of good things, and it's only good news if it gets there in time. If it gets there in time. There are 7,220 unreached people groups, places in the world that have never heard the gospel. You and I live in a country where we have the Word of God in our own language. We have the privilege, as I said before, to hear the Word of God preached three times on Sunday. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. We get to hear it on Wednesday night. And that doesn't even count the special services like revivals, camp meetings. I think about the weddings and funerals where the Word of God is preached. There are 8.8 billion people in the world today. In our services, we'll sing songs like that old song, What the Lovely Name, the name of Jesus. Reaching high and far than the brightest star, sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the world proclaim, what a lovely name. Now I tell you that there are 3.4 billion souls who have never heard the precious name of Jesus. Young people, may I ask you a question? Will you be willing to go? Listen, you saw that great world that's sitting outside there in the lobby, and there's two letters. In fact, those two letters are sitting here on the table. G-O, go. It'd make for an awkward missions conference if there were letters like S-T-A-Y. The last words our Christ said before he ascended into heaven was what? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Listen, the world as we know it is dying and going to a devil's hell. And may I say, young people this morning, and to even you adults, can I tell you something? You are the very ones who stand between those souls and the flames of hell. I was at a missions conference, or we had a missions conference in Montana when I pastored it. And I'll never forget, it was a great conference. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God was moving it. And it was an amazing thing. And afterwards, we had a time of lunch just like we're going to have. One of the ladies in my church, Miss Rusty, we sat there, and I could tell her mind is thinking. She says, Pastor, she says, can I ask you a question? She says, what happens to the people, she said, who've never heard the name of Christ? She said, I understand for us, we hear the gospel. We hear you preach. We hear you teach the Word of God. She says, I understand that there are people that hear the gospel. If they die, she says, I know they go to a devil's hell. But what about the others? I said, Miss Rusty, God painted it in creation. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. It is very evident there is a creator. I said, not only is there a creator, but God imprinted it in the conscience of man. I could take you to the deepest, darkest jungles of South America, and we can find a tribe of people. You know what you're going to find them doing? Worshiping something or someone. You know what they're doing? They're praying to a God that cannot save. I said, but then God gave us the commission. I said, he gave the church the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And tears fell from her cheeks. And she says, Pastor, it's my fault. If they die and go to a devil's hell, it's my fault. I said, that's right. You're getting it now. She said, it's our responsibility. Pastor, we must do more. I said, you're getting it. You're exactly right, Miss Rusty. We see here, will you follow the desire of the king? Number two, will you fulfill the decision of the king? Notice what the Bible says here in verse 6. The Bible says, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. He bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, said to him, I have given to thy master's son all that pertain to Saul. and to his house. Can I tell you something? We see the question, will you follow the desire of the king? Number two, we fulfill the decision of the king. In verse 5, notice what the Bible says. Then King David, what's the next word? Sent. And fetched him out of the house of Micah. Who was he talking to before this ever happened? He was talking to Ziba. He said, Ziba, are there any left of the house of Saul? And Ziba says, well, I know of one. His name is Mephibosheth. He's down there in Lodabar. And the king sent and fetched him. Can I ask you a question, young people? Where is the King of Glory asking you to go? Where would the King of Glory ask you to go? You know, for Ziba, we look at this, we go, it's not that big of a deal, Brother Saunders. Oh, no, it's a big deal back then. Because you got to understand that Lodabar is approximately about 80 miles from Jerusalem. Well, 80 miles in a car, that's not a bad thing. I mean, for us evangelists, we do it all the time. An hour drive is a piece of cake. Yeah, when you're driving a car. Yeah. They didn't have that back then.
That's right.
I wonder how excited Ziba was knowing that we see here, we see it's a request from the king. I wonder how excited Ziba was when all of a sudden the king of Israel says, Ziba, go find me Ziba. Go find my servant.
Yeah.
Ziba, I want you to go to Lodabar. I want you to go find Mephibosheth. Yes. You know how exciting it was for Ziba to go hook up the king's carriage and the horses. You know, listen, 80 miles, even in a horse and carriage, that's a long, long haul. And it's not just 80 miles there, it's also 80 miles back. So that's 160 miles. I'd imagine he's preparing all the different things that they may need, food and water. I would say there's probably some protection. I would venture to say, if it's a request from the king, I would venture to say there's probably some soldiers that are going to go. You see, Brother Saunders, what are you trying to get to? Can I tell you something? If you do God's work God's way, it'll never lack in God's supply.
That's right.
Amen.
Boy, listen, I bet Ziba was all excited, going, boy, I'm going to need this, huh? I'm going to need that, and boy, I got to get ready. How exciting is it, young people, when God says, are you ready?
Amen.
One of my greatest mentors was Brother Stinnett Ballou. If there was ever a man that could preach the house down in a missions conference, it was Brother Stinnett Ballou. Brother Ballou says either you're going across the streets or you're going across the seas.
Right.
It's a great question, young people. By the way, if you're going to just do across the streets, you'll do that first before you ever go across the seas.
That's right.
Old Ziba's excited. Boy, it's a request from the king. And I see here, it says, thy servant. Listen, he's the servant. When I begin to think about this, I think about King David. Before he was ever the king, listen, there was Goliath and everything. He's standing before Saul. Saul's hiding in the tent. Goliath's standing out there, and he's making fun of the God of Israel. He's making fun of the men of Israel. And all the men, the Bible says, fled from him.
Yeah.
You know what David said? Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. I think about that. I think about Isaiah said, here am I, send me. The Apostle Paul said, Lord, what will thou have me to do?
Yes.
Will you ask that question today? I think so many young people are scared to ask that question because they're really wondering, if I ask that question, would God be like, well, here you go. Thy servant will go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's a request. It's a responsibility. Notice what the Bible says here. The Bible says here in verse 10, thou therefore my sons and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits. Can I tell you something? There are the fields. The fields are white under harvest. But the Bible says the laborers are few. The laborers are few. I think about this. The Bible says in John 4:35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest.
That's right.
They're white already to harvest. The whole reason why Christ was telling those disciples, say not ye that there's 4 months. You know what he's saying? This is what happens all the time. I've got plenty of time to tell others the gospel. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. I've seen young people so many times, If they're not careful, they get entangled in the things of this world. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Some of my favorite verses. Listen, I really want to show you something this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. I know the kids were asking us to stamp their passports, and you'll find my signature in these same verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man, watch this now, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Brother Caleb Wilson, will you come here and help me? Brother Caleb Wilson, I want you to stand right here. Logan, will you come here? Brother Ben, will you come here, please? Brother Lamar, will you come and help me? I just need you to stand over here for me. Brother Caleb wants to serve the Lord with his life. But if we're not careful, there will be things that will entangle you. I know what that's like, young people. When I was in high school, I had a basketball coach. I love playing basketball. I had a basketball coach that said, Hey, Nathan, we need you to stay. We need you to stay on Wednesday nights and practice ball with us. I said, No, coach. And he's trying to do it, entangle me. When I worked in the secular world, listen, I made oodles of money when I worked for y'all have ever heard K's with a Kiss? Oh, yeah, I worked in the jewelry business. I made more money as a sales rep than our managers did. But they, you know what they wanted me to do? They said, look, we want to make you a manager. I said, I'm not becoming a slave to this place. They said, yeah, but don't worry. We'll give you a raise. It's going to be awesome. Well, listen, we're going to help you out. You know what they were trying to do? Entangle me. I've been told that Caleb Wilson's a very strong individual. We're going to find that out today. Because, Ben, you're going to sit on that foot, and Logan, you're going to sit on that foot. No. You're going, come on now. I said sit. That means you're going to wrap your legs around his leg. Just like that. There you go. All these homeschool kids, amen. Now, Brother Caleb's going to represent our missionaries. Brother Lamar is going to represent the mission field. See, you know, when you're young people, listen, there's not a lot that entangles you, but the older you get, there will be greater things. Now, Brother Caleb, I want you to try to get to Brother Lamar. Go ahead. Now, listen, while this is happening, and we're laughing at this, you ready? Come on. I mean, he's struggling. Here's the problem with this. Watch this now. Watch. You watching me? Watch. You call yourself a missionary? My name's Nathan. I'm from the Church of Latter-day Saints. I'll tell you everything that you need to know. You know what he's still doing? He's still struggling to get there. You know what? You know what's so sad, young people? As he's still struggling to get here, here's what's going to happen. Okay, gentlemen, you can stand to your feet. Don't go anywhere. You're going to assist me with this now. Where are you going?
To the mission field.
I'm sorry, Mr. Wilson. You can't go to the mission field. You're 86 years old now. Gentlemen, will you please take him back to his room? Did you get the picture? Young people, listen, when God speaks and God says, I need you to go, don't hesitate. Because the individual that hesitates, time will pass by so fast. Ask any of these older people, you know what they'll tell you? Man, it just seems like time's flying by. I used to hear my dad tell me, he says, well, you're going to get married. I'm like, yeah, that'll be a while. He goes, then you're going to have kids. You're going to blink. You're going to have kids. And then your kids are going to college. I thought, that'll take forever. You know where I'm at right now? One of them's in Bible college right now. Where's all my hair? When I got married, I had hair. I never use these things. My daughter makes fun of me all the time. She goes, oh, Dad, you look so cute with your glasses. Time is passing by so fast. Listen, the king is saying, hey, I got a request. It's a responsibility, and I'm looking for a reply. Notice what the Bible says in verse 11. Can you say this? Notice what the Bible says in the middle of that verse. I'll read it from the beginning of the verse. The Bible says, then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant. Watch what the next phrase is. So shall thy servant what? Do. What will be your reply? What will be your reply? Listen, will you follow the desire of the king? Number two, will you follow the decision, fulfill the decision of the king? Number three, last of all, will you focus on the difference the king makes? The king makes the difference. God, listen, it is not our responsibility to save people. We don't save people. We just give them the gospel, and it's the Lord that saves people. What a privilege it is to take the good news to a lost and dying world. The king makes the difference. In Acts 26 and verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Taking the good news. My very first mission trip. If you've never taken a mission trip, may I encourage you, please take a mission trip. How many of you do not have a passport? Raise your hands. Hey, listen, it takes 6 weeks. It's less than $300. Go get your passport. Take a mission trip. You say, Brother Saunders, it's so expensive. It'll cost you more if you don't. You say, Brother Saunders, I don't understand. When you take a mission trip, I promise you, your faith promise will increase. This church will never be the same. You say, Brother Saunders, how do I take a mission trip? Ask any of us missionaries. We'll take you. We'll take you. But Samuel Freed's done mission trips before. I've done mission trips before. Maybe some of these other guys have. I know Brother Crisp has. Dr. Ellis has. Brother Sasser has. If you want to go see the fields, go see it with your own eyes. Experience it for yourself. Listen, when you get on that airplane, how many of y'all never been on an airplane? Raise your hands. Anybody? Okay. Don't worry. More people die in car accidents than they do airplanes. When you get on that airplane, and you fly for all those hours and it lands, and that door opens, your senses become very heightened. It's a different smell. It does not smell like the United States. It's a different sound. It don't sound like the United States because you hear people speaking a different language. When that door opens, you see the people. You notice they're a different color. But they speak a different language. It's a different culture, different smells. And then when you go and see how the missionary lives, it's more than prayer letters. Listen, if your interaction with missions is nothing more than reading a prayer letter or putting your card into the offering plate or listening to the missionary, listen, your interaction with the missionary is 1 hour if he's there for the whole service. It's more than the 5-minute video presentation. It has to be more than that. Go see it for yourself. The fields are wide unto harvest. My very first mission trip was to Costa Rica. There I learned my first Spanish phrase, un regalo para ti, free gift for you. That's what I said at every track I handed out, un regalo para ti, un regalo para ti, un regalo para ti. The Spanish pastor, he spoke English pretty well. He says, Brother Nathan, will you go with me on a visit? I'm like, yeah. I looked at my dad. Dad goes, go. Man, it's an adventure of a lifetime. I jump in that van with that pastor. We ride down the road, and we get to this set of apartments, and on the way there, he tells me, he goes, Brother Nathan, we're going to go visit an individual I led to Christ some time ago. He said, he's one of my faithful, most faithful church members. He said, man, this guy loves God. We roll up to these beautiful apartments. I thought, man, this is great. We get out, and the pastor says, come on, Brother Nathan, and we're going down a dark alley. My dad used to tell me all the time, don't go down dark alleys. But the pastor's going. He lives there, so I'm like, hey, let's go. We go down that dark alley, and as we go down that dark alley, you know what I see? There's trash everywhere. And all of a sudden, I can hear music. It's Christian music playing in Spanish. And I hear this guy. He can't sing worth a lick. He's singing off key. But boy, you can hear him praising God. We get there, and there's a box with a tarp over it. And this guy crawls out from underneath it. And he goes, oh, Pastor, I'm so glad to see you. God's been good to me. Look at my home. Look how God's blessed me beyond measure. You know what I was thinking? That's a refrigerator cardboard box. And he calls that a house. This dude's acting like this is a mansion. I thought, how spoiled rotten I am. I've got a warm bed. I've got a mom and dad that love me. His parents threw him out on the street. He had to grow up on the streets as a kid. Thank God a preacher man didn't care how bad he smelled. Thank God a preacher man didn't care his class of people. Led him to Christ. He says, Pastor, look, God provided a meal for me today. Someone gave him a sandwich. And I'm thinking, I get 3 square meals a day. And snacks anytime I want them. Here, this guy, he's so excited. You know what I thought about, little preacher? That old boy. I'm 42 now. I was 15 back then. That was a long time ago. By the elements of his lifestyle, how he lived on the street, I would venture to say he's already passed away. But could you think about what it was for him? Listen, I'm all for humanitarian aid. Listen, I am for, you know, helping feed the hungry and the poor. I am for that. But can I tell you something? If you put food in their belly and they die without Christ, they'll split hell wide open. You can put a roof over their head, but if they die without Christ, they'll split hell wide open. But if you give them Jesus, you give them everything. For that old boy, can I tell you something? See, the servant came and found the Mephibosheth of Lodabar, led him to Christ. And that old boy, when he died on this side, got nothing more than a cardboard box to his name, but on that side, he's got a mansion. Hey, listen, on this side, he's got nothing more than a sandwich to his name, but on that side, he's going to set the marriage supper of the Lamb. On this side, he died in darkness, and on that side, the sun always shines. I'm just telling you, friend, listen, hey, there's a lost world that desperately needs to hear the gospel. Would there be some individuals that would be willing to go and represent the King? I close with this. Look at me in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. He said, thy servant will go. Boy, when I begin to think about Revelation chapter 19, look with me here in verse 5. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye what? Servants. You know what I want to hear him say? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. He said, the servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. I think about verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Bible Baptist Church, are we really the servants that God, the King of Glory, desires us to be? See, Brother Saunders, what are you saying? I'm saying go reach lost people with the gospel. Go across the street. Listen, don't be intimidated by who they are. You never know who they might become when you lead them to Christ. There's a young man named Kyle. He was 16 years old. He went witnessing, went door knocking. And as he went door knocking, he knocked on a Catholic boy's home. His name is Keith. And he began to witness to Keith. And as he witnessed to Keith, he got him to come to church. And after he got him to come to church, they would go out to eat together, and Kyle would witness to Keith. And as he witnessed to Keith, he had the privilege of opening the Word of God and leading Keith to Christ. Well, Keith got a little older. Keith was discipled. Keith heard the call of God to preach. Went to Bible college. He joined Macedonia World Baptist Missions. His name is Keith Shoemaker. Kyle had no idea who he would lead to Christ. Kyle was nothing more than the servant. He was Ziba. And he went and found the Mephibosheth named Keith Shoemaker. He led Keith Shoemaker to Christ. Keith Shoemaker is one of the missionaries that this church supports. Little did Kyle ever know that Keith would raise his support, join Macedonia, and go over to Ivory Coast, Africa, and start three churches. Three strong churches, mind you. Then a war would break out, and you say, well, I guess Keith's going to hang up his missionary hat. Oh, no, he goes right on down to Burkina Faso, Africa. And while he's in Burkina Faso, you know what he does? He begins to lead more Mephibosheths to Christ, and more Mephibosheths to Christ, and more Mephibosheths to Christ. I'll never forget the day I saw Keith Shoemaker on Facebook, and he said, you know, if I had $1,000 right where I stand right now, if I had $6,000 right now, we could buy this parcel of land. It stands between three villages, and we could get a church started here. And I was pastoring at that time. I looked at my wife. I said, we can give $1,000. And it didn't stop there. You know what I started doing? Like any good pastor should do. I got on the phone. I started calling men of the church. I said, look, Keith Shoemaker right now needs $6,000. He's going to buy a parcel of land where he can start a church. I'm giving $1,000. How much are you going to put down? You say, man, you put the pressure on him. Men start saying, Pastor, put me down for $1,000. Pastor, put me down for $500. Pastor, put me down for $250. Pastor, put me down for $50. Pastor, put me down for this much and for this much and for this much. And in 3 days, how much money did we raise? How much? $11,000 was raised. 23 churches. Keith Shoemaker started 23 churches. To God be the glory. But I can tell you where it started. When the king said, hey, Ziba, I got a request for you. They're the Mephibosheths down the road. They're the Mephibosheths across the seas. I wonder if there would be a young person, a young lady, a young man that would said, I, thy servant, will do all that I ask. Lord, whatever you want, it's yours for the taking. I wonder if there'd be some mamas and daddies that'd be willing to put their, listen, hey, giving to missions is more than just filling that card out and putting it in the offering plate. I wonder if there'd be some mamas and daddies and some grandmas and grandpas that'd be willing to bring those precious children to the altar and say, Lord, I'm crying out to the God of heaven. Lord, will you call my kids to go to the mission field?
Amen.
No, Brother Nathan, not my grandkids, not my grandbabies. I don't want them to go. They're safe from the center of God's will.
Yes, brother.
On the backside of some jungle in Africa than they are living in sin just down the road from you. I wonder if there'd be some young people that say, Lord, I want to be your servant. God, I don't know what all that means. Lord, I don't know where you would send me. Can I say something? One missionary said this, it's better for us to have an open Bible and an open map. Maybe you should start praying, Lord, I don't know what that looks like. I don't have all the answers. None of us ever had any of the answers.
That's right.
Other than the Word of God, and that's it. Open that Bible and say, God, will you help me? Lord, I just want to be your servant. And as the requests come, just be obedient to the Lord. It may be that God would say, you know what? I want you to sing specials. I want you to teach a Sunday school class. I want you to be a faithful, tithing, missionary-giving church member. It may be that God's saying, I need you to be a missionary's wife, a pastor's wife. Young man, is God calling you to preach? Please don't be the Jonah. Don't take off and run. Be obedient to the king's request.
Amen.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, thank you for today. God, I know I've preached exactly what you've asked me to. Lord, I don't know what else to do other than